welcome to another fabulous episode of All the Vegas, presented by Las Vegas Weekly Magazine in collaboration with The Space. That's where we taped this podcast, you guys. We're at Polaris and Harmon, just off the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, the home of Monday's Dark. Mark, can we talk about our childhood sports dreams for just a little while?
Sure.
What do you think?
Go ahead.
I think it's been well documented on this podcast that you were born between the pipes. No, you played hockey since when you were a little kid, right?
Yeah.
How early did you start?
Early. I don't remember how early. In Canada, you're given skates at birth, essentially. Somebody, some crazy uncle, some dumb aunt buys the smallest pair of skates possible when somebody has a baby. Look at it. So they can claim that they are the first person to have ever purchased skates, just in case that individual happens to go pro.
Just in case.
Just in case. So they make small skates up north. But I played until I was about 19 years old. That's when I realized my midget stature wasn't going to take me to the next level. But I had a lot of fun. I played right up into the Canadian Hockey League, which is great. Yeah.
You did it for real.
I did it for real. What about you? You played bocce.
It was basketball for me. Basketball was my sport. I grew up watching Magic and Bird with my brother and my dad, and I was obsessed forever. And then my family moved to Vegas in 1987, which only intensified my love of the game, because right at that time was when my team, the Detroit Pistons, won back-to-back championships, and then we're in Vegas, and UNLV won their national title at the exact same time. So, like, basketball was my whole world. Vegas was a basketball city, as far as I was concerned. And
well, it was the only sport we had at that time.
It was exciting times, yeah, for sure.
But I was a big Pistons fan growing up, because obviously we talked about this.
You were close.
We started. Yeah, I was close. Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario is 5 hours north of Detroit. Mm-hmm. So that was our major city. My mom was from Windsor, so the Red Wings, the Pistons, the Lions, those were our summer. Tigers, Old Tiger Stadium with Sparky Anderson. Those were some memories right there. But yeah, the Bad Boys were a part of my childhood. And, you know, right around the same time as you, we were watching those guys win just championships. And they were just, they couldn't lose. They were great.
Killing it.
Yeah.
Well, you made a better go of it than me. Clearly, I had to abandon my NBA dreams in order to become Las Vegas's favorite writer and podcaster. So the Pistons missed out on their next great point guard, sadly.
That's all right. The Globetrotters are always hiring clowns. So, you know, there's an audition around the corner.
Rimshot.
Yeah.
But when I came back to Vegas after college, even then I never thought in my wildest dreams that we would ever have an NBA team in Las Vegas. Now that is probably about to become reality in the next few years. But something happened to me last year that was a little bit unexpected that blew me away. I fell in love with basketball all over again because of the Las Vegas Aces. Our WNBA team had a great first season at Mandalay Bay Event Center, aka the house.
Yeah, having the WNBA here is just awesome. You know, literally piggybacking off the success of the Golden Knights coming out first and then getting the Aces. It's really cementing the city, you know, in the sports world. We got a brand new AAA ballpark now for our Aviators. And like you mentioned, the NBA is not too far off. When we have our production meetings for our Golden Knights production team, it actually takes place in NBA locker room one. So the facility is already built inside T-Mobile for an NBA team to join us eventually. Mm-hmm. And what they've done to the event center at Mandalay Bay is badass. Like, they've dialed that place in, and going to games there is a lot of fun. You're going to Mandalay Bay, you know, so to be able to see a professional basketball game actually on the strip within that resort kind of kicks ass.
It's the best.
The pre and post, off the chain. You have some of the best restaurants on the strip, clubs, you know. We've been to a few restaurants together actually at Mandalay Bay, and it's just fun. It's awesome.
I went to a ton of games last year.
I had season tickets.
Yeah, I had so much fun. And it's such a satisfying experience for me, because this is the basketball team I've been waiting for. This is my Vegas team. It is going to be great when we get the NBA, but the Aces are it for me. And you can't talk about the Aces without talking about the Rookie of the Year, All-Star, World Cup gold medal winner, National Player of the Year, and National Champion during her college career at South Carolina. One of the stars of the WNBA, even though she's only been a pro for 1 year. It's Asia Wilson, and she's our guest today on All the Vegas. Hey, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
That resume is terrible. Yeah. It was awful. I'm calling Lambeer. We're making a trade.
Yeah, couldn't you have done something else last year?
Yeah, awful. Thanks so much for being here. It's great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, go.
You've just been back in Vegas for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
How's it been getting readjusted to Vegas and getting ready for a new season?
Yeah, I actually really miss this place. I mean, I'm South Carolina born and raised, but when I come out here, you know, it's my second home out here in Vegas. So to get back in the groove of everything and back on the strip and things like that, it's definitely been a lot of fun. And also just training, of course, and slowly but surely my teammates are going to be headed in, which is always cool, but definitely workout's been so far so good. Mm-hmm. Still got a lot more work to do, but definitely a lot more fun being back here.
Mm-hmm. You had such a crazy busy off season.
Yeah.
You did so much in a pretty short amount of time, won a gold medal. You also worked as an analyst a little bit for the NCAA women's tournament this year, which was awesome. Did you get to spend any time back home and kind of process the year that you had and assess everything and get your mind together that way? Or
yeah, it definitely was a little later after I got done, because I commentated the girls tournament first and second round, so it was pretty late into the year. But definitely kind of after that, kind of sat around the house a little bit, packing up stuff, getting ready to head back out here. And I kind of looked back on the year that I've had, and I couldn't have asked for a better year. Coming in, you know, I was like, you know, this is my first time going at this pro stuff. I don't know what I'm going to expect. But I had a ton of fun. I was surrounded by great people, and they really kind of took me underneath their wing, and the sky was the limit for us. And I'm excited to get back here playing because, you know, we're such a young team now, but at the same time, we're smart. So I'm happy to be back into it.
Mm-hmm. You also went overseas for a little bit. You went to China.
Yeah.
And played a few games. What was that experience?
Yeah,
like?
It was definitely a different experience for sure. China is probably a different world. It doesn't even seem like you're there. My dad was over there with me, so he was kind of my partner in crime through everything. The language barrier, of course, was the hardest thing, is communicating. Couldn't even communicate with my coach at times, and that was kind of tough for me. But I had a lot of fun just meeting different people, of course, and just seeing their world come together just by basketball, not necessarily by the gender, but just by basketball as a whole. Like, they were all bought into, well, they called me the American, but that's what it was. They were all bought into their basketball team. So it was a lot of fun seeing that. I hate my season got cut short because of injury, but it's definitely an experience that I loved because I got to learn a good bit of things in a short term, in a short period of time.
Did you get some crazy food?
Yeah.
I've been to China once. I was in Shanghai a few years ago. And
yeah, you were kind of in the nice Americanized one. I was like
totally
south of Beijing, somewhere where I get all the seasons in one day. It was crazy. And they lay out this platter of food, and like all the food's looking back at me. And I'm like, shrimp should not have eyes, and they should not be looking at me. And then my dad's like, oh, what is this? He picks up something with his chopsticks, and they're like, oh, that's a bat. And he like chucks the bat. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is too much. So it's definitely different just seeing a fish look at you. I'm like, you know, sushi, I love sushi. I was like, oh my gosh, yes. And I look, I'm like, no, it's too real. So it's definitely different. Food was really weird. I stuck to rice majority of the time. They had some nice donuts.
Yeah. There you go.
Other than that, and then they like brought me soda, and they thought that I was supposed to like go crazy because I'm like, oh, Sprite, oh, Coke, oh, Pepsi. But no, I was kind of like, oh yeah, Mountain Dew. I was like, I cannot drink this before a game. Do you have Gatorade? And they keep bringing me sodas, and I'm like,
hilarious. All
right, I'm gonna cramp up.
What was the game like in terms of like the WNBA style of play to over there? Was there much difference or?
Definitely not a huge difference. Not a huge difference. Probably the talent, of course, was different, but the speed was still the same. They're very, very quick, and I think the Chinese teams, they're very into repetition. Like, you're going to get up 100 shots, and you need to make 90 of them. Like, that is how they're all about shooting. They're all about layups, and that's not how the game is, of course, played. So it was definitely different in that way because they expect, like, my coach would think that I had, like, a fever if I missed a shot. Like, he'll have the trainer say, is she okay? Like, is she? I'm like, I'm good. I just missed a shot. I'm sorry. Like, but that's how it is. They think that you're sick because you're missing shots or you're messing up.
Play the violin now. Get back to that piano.
So it was only different in that way. But I appreciated them because it made me focus that much more on what I need to do.
Yeah. A little pressure. No pressure.
My favorite thing that you did in the off season was you were in the you participated in NBA All-Star Weekend in a few different ways, and you played in the, like, celebrity game.
Yeah.
And you blocked a shot that a comedian attempted, Hasan Minhaj.
Yeah.
And then he went – did you hear about this, Mark?
I read a little bit.
He went on Fallon later on and said, and I quote –
end quote.
She sent my shit into the stands like she was making up for the gender pay gap. Which might be the funniest thing I've ever heard him say.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy.
He is. Yeah.
What was that experience like? That must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, the celebrity game was definitely a lot of fun. I mean, I can honestly say that Ray Allen did not shoot a three in front of my face, and I contested it. So not a lot of people can say that.
We'll have to have Ray on. Let's give him a call.
That's my takeaway from the game. But I mean, it was a lot of fun. I grew up a Panthers fan, and so to see Steve Smith being my teammate was definitely the eye opener. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm panicking right now. And I mean, he's giving me high fives. Like, we were really all into it. And of course, Quavo, one of the Migos, like, just seeing people that you hear and you see all the time and then actually being on the same court as them is different. But then they looked at me the same way. They were like, oh, we heard about you. So nice to put face with a name. So it was a lot of fun. I had my family there, of course, and having people in my ear talk to me in a free throw line was definitely not it. But I enjoyed it. And I also got a chance to judge the dunk contest, which was cool as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surrounded by some greats that I've dunked a lot. So kind of be in that area, had fun.
You're young enough now to remember when the WNBA started.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when it started. I remember year one thinking, wow, this is amazing. Talk about, you know, amazing stuff for this country. At what point in your college career or even high school did you think, you know what? This is a legitimate opportunity for me. I want to make a go of this, because women didn't have that choice. Like, we were just talking about sports for us when we started this, this show, and we were like, you know, it was always there. It was always presented to us, and as men, we take that for granted because those opportunities, especially in basketball, just didn't exist for women.
Yeah.
So, at what point did you, like, say, you know what, Mom, Dad, I want to be a pro basketball player?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I wasn't really the little girl that got the basketball in her hands at the age of two. Like, I wasn't really that type of girl. I wanted to be a couch potato. I wanted to be normal. Like, I just, like, my parents leave me alone. So I'm probably around maybe senior year in high school when I kind of committed to South Carolina, and I knew I wanted to have that in my back pocket, not just a degree, but to say that I was a collegiate athlete. And at that time, when I saw things kind of unravel, I'm like, okay, I could be pretty good at this. Can I play at the pro level? And when you have a coach like Dawn Staley, who is one of those pioneers to lead and open up the gates for us, I mean, she kind of just took me through the ropes of it all. So I think freshman year was really where I was like, all right, I want to be a pro at this. How do I get to that level? How can I become a pro athlete and what I love? And, you know, we have all different leagues. Of course, you have overseas and you have WNBA. So it wasn't really like I wanted to be a WNBA player. I was like, I just want to play at the highest levels possible. And probably freshman year is when it really clicked and I started having fun with it. And I just never, that's my biggest thing. I just never want to lose the passion and the fun of just the game.
How cool is it to see at your games, young girls there? Because as a sports fanatic, I love all sports. But what I'm an observer. Like, I come from a performance background. So as an actor, I'm always watching what audiences are seeing. And so when I'm in a sports environment, I'm seeing fans. To me, one of the greatest things about the WNBA is seeing the families come and then watching these young girls look up to you guys, as they should, as any other, you know, professional athlete is sort of idolized.
Yeah.
How has that been for you? Because it's year one for you,
yeah.
and your face and your name was plastered all over this city. Really, like, you could not, you had to be under a rock to not know who you were last year with the Aces. And to me, when I would go to the games, I mentioned I had season tickets, seeing these kids just like love this game played by women. How does that make you feel now that this is, you know, you going into year two?
Yeah, it's something that does not get old at all. I mean, you grow up and you always have your role models, your idols. But then when the roles are kind of flipped and now you're that role model and you're that idol, it definitely is something that just keeps, it just wants you just to keep playing, keep going. I mean, I've ran into little girls where they're like shaking and they're like in awe. And I'm like thinking somebody's behind me. I'm like, girl, let me know what's going on. Do we need to run? They're like, no, you're Aisha. And I'm like, oh, And like, I'm like, because to me, I'm just like a normal girl that's like still calling her mom when I'm stuck in traffic. Like, but to them, I am just like, oh my gosh. And I'm just glad that I can be that tangible role model. I love being in the community. I love being there for people to kind of lean on and know I'm real. I've been through a bunch of stuff, but hey, I made it. I made it here and so can you. So it's something that just does not get old. I love it. And even young boys. I see little boys like adding me on Instagram. They're like wearing my jerseys for Jersey Day. Like little kids dressing up as me for Halloween. Like I'm like, this is crazy because I would dress up as Lisa Leslie. I would be the Candace Parker. And now I have people that's like rocking the one leg. This girl's like cutting her pants off. She's like, one leg sleeve like Asian. I'm like, honey, no, your mom has to pay for it. But she's like all in awe. And I just love it. It just
got to get you a clothing line. Somebody's got to get up. Come on, agent.
They're like, how do you get your legs? I'm like, oh, I just cut the other leg. And they're like, all right. Next thing I know, this girl's like cuts off her khakis. I'm like, no, sweetie. So, but it keeps me going. It keeps me playing. It keeps me just in it. It really keeps me down to earth because I'm like, there's some little kid that's looking up to me and I just have to stay on my P's and Q's.
Where did the one leg come from? How long have you been doing that?
Oh, I just started my last year because in college, Coach Daly really didn't have us wearing leggings or accessories if we didn't need it, and I couldn't get my trainer to write off on things because I wanted to be decked out, like I want a sweatband, wristband, like all that stuff. She was not going for that. But actually, I have shin problems. And it's just in my left leg. It's really weird. But it just compresses all of everything that I need. And it warms that leg up a lot more faster than I need it. And yeah, it just keeps me going.
Functional and stylish.
Yeah, right. I didn't think anyone would just be like, all right, I'm going to leg sleeve.
Nike's going to start rolling out tights.
It's already
see,
there.
I'm going to see, girls in yoga class wearing like one-legged yoga pants. Like, what the heck?
You also... we had a little Mountain Dew shout out a minute ago, but like you have an endorsement deal with Mountain Dew. Yeah. That is huge because I mean, there still are not a lot of WNBA players that have that kind of visibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually the first WNBA player that Mountain Dew sponsors. So that was just huge for me. And it just happened at just a common summer league game. I was talking to someone from Pepsi and they're like, hey, we want you on the team. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but here's my manager. You can talk to them. Like, I don't know. The next thing you know, they called me, and it was just something huge. I went to do a photo shoot, and, like, Russell Westbrook just walks up to me. He's like, yo, what's up? And I'm like, oh, my God, you're, like, the king of triple-doubles. Like, hey. But it's a huge deal for us, and I'm glad to be partner with Mountain Dew because they like things that are deeper than just the athlete. They like to get in touch of what do we like off the court? How can we get fans in touch with you so they know you as not just the player, but just as a person? And that's what I'm so glad that I can be one of the many faces on the Mountain Dew team to kind of express that and get people to come out to our games as well.
Last time I talked to you, it was kind of the middle of the season last year.
Yeah.
And we were talking a lot about kind of adjusting to the role of being a leader on this team. Even though you were a rookie and you were going through all the difficult parts of that huge life transition, starting this thing from the very beginning, how do you feel now that you got a season under your belt, you got an off season under your belt, you've done all these things? How do you feel now about that role, being a leader, and also, like Mark said, being one of the faces of professional sports in Las Vegas right now?
Yeah, it's a tough role to kind of come into. You kind of get hit with a lot of different things, both positive and negative. And it's only a certain amount of people that are built for it. I think I'm slowly becoming and turning and forming into the person that's built for it. But I mean, last year I was just like just thinking crazy because I'm like, how am I supposed to lead and I don't know what I'm doing? Like, how am I supposed to tell people, hey, follow me, I don't know what I'm doing, but just follow me? Like, it was. And also, you just don't want to be that rookie that's stepping on anybody's toes. And I still have so much to learn, But I just want to come in. I'm more comfortable this year because I know what to expect. The fear of unknown is kind of out of the window now. I know I'm a lot more comfortable. And I talked to our number one draft pick, Jackie Young, earlier today. And she's like, well, how is it? She's just asking me a bunch of questions. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this was me last year. So now it kind of gives me an opportunity to be not just that vet. I'm not a vet yet. I'm still just a sophomore. But just to let them know that it's not that different from college. Just the talent's just a little bit increased a little bit. But she's just always asking me questions. And it kind of makes me more comfortable because I'm like, I can let her know she's not alone. I can let her know that I've been in the same situation. I'm still going through it, but we're in it together. So definitely just being a lot more comfortable is helping me out this season, just becoming and breaking into that leadership role. Mm-hmm.
The space is home to Monday's Dark, which is a local nonprofit that throws parties and gives a lot of money away. And, you know, while we're right in this sort of realm here, you started your own foundation.
Yeah.
How did that come about? And what's the main purpose of the foundation? Because I tip my cap to that. Like, everything we've talked about is great, but, you know, it's like you said, these kids and people looking up to you, and here's your opportunity now to give back. What's the foundation all about?
Yeah, I wanted to start the Asia Wilson Foundation as soon as I got my platform, as soon as I let go of the NCAA. And I was diagnosed with dyslexia, about my junior year in high school. And It struck me. It was my first taste of adversity. I didn't know. I didn't want people to think I couldn't read. I didn't want people to think I was like just struggling. And as an athlete, you really don't want to show your weaknesses. That's kind of what you grew up on. And I just didn't know how to handle it. And it was tough for my parents to kind of get a grip on it as well, because they just thought I was being a lazy teenager who didn't study. But I'm like, hey, this is real. It's something going on. And later on, I got the correct resources that I needed, and I became more comfortable with my learning disability. So as soon as I got out of college, I wanted to start a foundation to help young kids with learning disabilities and also bullying. And because those are things that I kind of went through growing up, and I really didn't have that outlet to go to just yet, or I wasn't comfortable enough. So I wanted to kind of form a foundation that sends out resources and gives money to schools in need of that help for learning disabilities, because sometimes schools don't even test kids for it because they just don't think that they are that. They just thought, all right, y'all just not studying, but it's deeper than that. And it's not just to help the school and the child, but also the families as well. So having consulting with their parents and seeing how to deal with a child with learning disabilities and it's going through bullying. And in South Carolina, we just got a school that's for kids with dyslexia. So I couldn't get out there because I had to come out here. But definitely just go out there and help them out and give them all the resources of anything that they need. Because I remember my first resource was a pen that could listen to my professor speak. So then once I put my pen to my paper, I could write my notes, because I would be so into writing my notes that I would miss what the professor is saying. Hmm. So like just having and providing different resources for schools with learning disabilities and with kids with learning disabilities was what the Asia Wilson Foundation is about.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I think, you know, people don't realize, like you said, as soon as I was given my platform, right? Yeah. You were given a platform. A lot of people don't realize that you are given this opportunity, and a lot of people don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, I'll make sure we follow along, and, you know, I'm so excited about it. It's so neat. I'm glad Brock put it in here to talk about, because it's so important to be able to give back to your community.
Yes.
And it's Vegas, right? Right. We're in one of the coolest cities ever.
Yes, yeah.
What's your favorite thing about, you know, the city in year one? What was some of the things that you embraced or liked to do more than others?
Oh, man. I think just the fact that I'm just being in Vegas. I think I love to people watch. I love it. I mean, what better place than Las Vegas? Yeah. And where they have us living, it seems like it's the capital of bachelorette parties. So I get to just see a bunch of different people, and they're like all excited, and it's just geek just to be out here. And I think just seeing people come out and just have fun, and knowing that Vegas is my second home, I just take a lot of pride in that in itself. I kind of stay off the strip. I'm not really into like the clubs and going out, but every time I do walk the strip, you know, someone's always knowing who I am. And that's always good, because when you ask other players that are in those big cities, you know, a lot of people don't know them or can't recognize their face. But then I walk into a place like New York, or Mandalay Bay, and there's like a big cutout of me. And I'm like, oh. And like a lot of people look at the cutout, then they look at me and they're like, oh my gosh. So it's just good just people to recognize you as a whole, especially in a place like Las Vegas, where it's just people going in and out.
I that is, people watching is probably the best show in Las Vegas.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Just wandering around.
It's different.
I've been here for so long since I was a kid that I don't have this, I don't have that effect anymore. So I wonder, you've only been here for a short time. Mark, you've been here for years, but not that long. When you come to Vegas, how long does it take for like that novelty to kind of wear off and to feel like, okay, this is where I live, this is my place?
For me, I don't think it wears off, but it's always in the back of your mind, or it's always in your back pocket. It's something that, because you involve yourself in so many things, and you have a life, you have a job, yeah. you carry on with what you're doing, you forget that building is absolutely massive, and what goes on here just is a daily thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I take it for granted, but there are definitely moments where I catch myself and I go, wow, I live here.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been given this opportunity because I, you know, same as an athlete, same as a performer, my getting to where I am now had its peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
You know, you get a job, you're without a job, you get a great gig, you don't get a gig. Vegas embraced me quickly, and I, like you, gathered that real quick, and I was like, oh my God, this place is really cool. This is different from LA or New York, which is where I had most of my acting experiences. I'm like, this town is really supportive and embracing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my wife and I love it here. We've been here now 6 years, and we've seen the growth in just these 6 years. Just unreal, you know, with pro sports, obviously, but just the whole entertainment scene, the dining scene, the best of the best is here in all walks, in my opinion. And Brock and I talk about it again and again and again. It's an experience. People come to Vegas for an experience. And it could be club kids. It could be foodies. It could be entertainment people. Now it's sports. Like, mm-hmm. people are planning trips to Vegas around sports, and that's such a cool thing for me to see, because it was missing from our lives, I think, as residents here, where we couldn't just go down to Staples Center or Madison Square Garden and catch whatever. Mm-hmm. Now we can, and having you in town is just such a massive asset, in my opinion, anyway, massive.
Yeah.
Do you have that happen to you, Asia, where you're like, you're playing, you're on the court at Mandalay Bay, and then at some point you're like, okay, we are also in a giant casino in the Las Vegas Strip. Like, no other WNBA player gets that.
Yeah, it is. You feel it. As soon as you probably walk out and I look around and I just see the place kind of just fill up, I'm like, wow, like, I'm really in Vegas. Like, this is something where people kind of overlooked as a sports town. You always had UNLV, you always had Summer League nights now, and the Raiders are coming. But for us as the Aces, as a WNBA team here, and just kind of putting a stamp on it, like, we're here, and having people fill in, it definitely is something that just opens my eyes, and I'm just grateful for it. I'm grateful to be in a city that embraces us, and they give us all this support, win, lose, or draw, and you can't find that anywhere else. I would say the Aces and the Las Vegas and MGM, everyone really kind of sets that standard for the WNBA as a whole, and I'm just glad to be a part of it, to show people this is how it's supposed to be. And Vegas, probably never in a million years people would have thought Vegas would have had a WNBA team. Never. It just wasn't something that came up. But like, being drafted and being kind of the first Aces to be drafted, and my parents are kind of like, oh, she's going to Vegas. But they come out there and it's like, oh, she's in Vegas. This isn't bad. Is that, that's just the touch that Vegas has on everyone, and I'm glad that I'm here, just being in it.
Have you got your folks and friends from back home to come out
to
Vegas a lot?
Yes. I don't even see them. They come out and they're like, all right, bye, we're going this way. I'm like, okay. Sorry, I have a game to prep for. But go ahead.
I got to go have a nap.
Yeah, my mom's like, yeah, I'm at fashion show, Mom. I'm like, how did you even find that? She's like, I don't know. So yes, they've had a ton of fun, and it also gives them just a place to come to. I went to college in South Carolina. I was born and raised there, so it was really nothing like they couldn't travel to go out. But now everyone's come to Vegas and they're so excited. My mom just turns it into like a girls trip.
I had the privilege of moderating a luncheon about a month ago now with the head of NASCAR, our track, Kerry Buwells, our president, and Bill Laimbeer was there. And Bill was talking about the growth that he sees the Aces sort of undertaking in the next couple of years specifically. Is there anything in your opinion that's missing from the Aces world? Like, he was talking about a training facility, how, you know, he would like to develop a state-of-the-art gym.
Yeah.
Because you don't think of these things. Mm-hmm. We don't have that. Mm-hmm. You know, where are you guys practicing now? Do you practice at Mandalay Bay? Is everything right there?
We practice in UNLV. That's where training camp is and starts and ends. And then we probably move to Mandalay Bay around game time when the games are starting. But I would have to back up Coach Bill in that way. I think that's the biggest thing that's missing for us is a practice facility, training center, because, you know, UNLV, they are good, but then you still have that college mindset. You still feel like, okay, I'm on college campus.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, all right, this isn't it. You kind of have to go this way. Cold tub is somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Where in a practice facility, everything's there that you need. And I think that's the one thing that needs to happen
quick, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's detrimental to the success of the team as a professional athlete. You need mm-hmm. that. And also, too, what an asset it would be to the community. Because I've been to some of these basketball training facilities where they have multiple courts and the way the community embraces it. Mm-hmm. No different than, you know, City National Arena with the Golden Knights, where it's a twin pad hockey facility. One is dedicated to the Golden Knights, but then the public can use it. And one side is all like, I can't imagine what that would bring to our community, just knowing that we have this incredible state-of-the-art basketball facility with multiple courts. Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, hockey is an expensive sport, and not everybody can afford to play that game. But you can give a kid a pair of shoes and a basketball all day long to be able to back it up with a state-of-the-art facility and, you know, the great coaches and getting that whole thing that goes along with that, where there's these training programs now in place for young men and women to learn how to coach this game mm-hmm. at a different level and a different mindset. Because like you said, all we had was UNLV, which was, again, badass.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we have that program here is incredible. But now we got to, like, I look at you and I go, we got to take care of you. You know, like, we have to give you the opportunity to succeed. It's no different than any other job. Like, when I go into a theater, if the theater isn't set up properly, I'm not going to be able to do my best work.
Yep.
So I look at you guys and I'm like, man, we got to get these ladies a gym quick.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do a GoFundMe. I'm going to talk to somebody. Because I'd be the next comedian that you just like slam. I'd be there trying my free throws.
What is the, it's only been a few weeks, but what is the mindset right now as you reunite with your teammates? You guys have got some really significant new additions to the roster this mm-hmm. year with Jackie that you mentioned and Sugar Rogers coming over, a vet mm-hmm. who's going to be great here.
Yeah.
What are you guys feeling like? I'm sure you're ready to capitalize on all the potential that came last year.
Yeah, we have a chip on our shoulders. I think we all do. I think we're all hungry because we were one game short of playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've all kind of felt that. We got that bad taste in our mouth. And we're ready to come back and just come together as a team. Last year, we didn't know each other, had no idea. We were just first meeting each other probably mm-hmm. in four years, if not at all, at training camp. But now we know each other. Now we're kind of getting everyone back together. And we know how each other plays. We know where we want the basketball. I think we're going to mesh a lot better because of that. And also, we know Bill. We know the coaching staff a lot better, which can help us out a ton. And with those two new additions, I'm excited just to play with them. I'm excited for them to get in our system and run the way that we do and putting their minds to the test, because it's probably more of a mental game than it is anything. So just picking the vets' minds and seeing, okay, how can we win this basketball game in the easiest way possible. So I'm excited just to get back going with my teammates. Now, they've been killing it and crushing it overseas, and just having them come back and play that same exact way is going to be something special for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, last year, obviously, was such a crazy whirlwind, not just for you, but for the whole team. It seemed like it's like, oh, we're going to get a WNBA team. Oh, they're going to be called the Aces. And then the next game was the next day, basically. Yeah. That's what it felt like.
So fast.
So fast.
Yeah.
Now you've got that experience. And off the court as well, I'm sure you are looking forward to just spending more time here,
mm-hmm.
putting some roots a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
What kind of way do you want to, like, connect with the community a little bit better? And what Vegas stuff have you not been able to do yet?
I could honestly say I've not really gambled a lot. And I think that's, like, the number
that's
one
okay.
Vegas thing.
You don't have to do
you
that.
Don't have
yeah,
to.
You can skip that.
I'm not into that. Yeah. I walk past people and they're like, oh, and I'm like, that's the reason why. But that's probably the number one Vegas thing that I haven't got a chance to do yet. I don't know if I'm ever going to do it. But definitely in the community, I want to put on a youth camp. Had an opportunity to do that back home. That was my first time doing it. Great turnout. Kids had a lot of fun. And something I want to do here as well to reach out to this community. Yeah, and just start from there and just continue to grow. We had an opportunity to go to an academy school and just be around them after school program, and they were just full of energy. I'm like, you guys have so much energy, and I don't even know where it's coming from, but I love it. Like, feeding off of young kids is something I love to do. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Get into community in any way that I can. I just love it all.
Hey, this is Brock. If you listen to this show, you know that I am old. Too old to be going out to all the cool Vegas nightclubs all the time. But you know what? I do it anyway. I do it for you. I do it so I can write all about the club scene for Las Vegas Weekly. And there's a new spot. You've probably heard of it. And it's actually reinvigorated my interest in the Vegas club experience. That's On the Record at Park MGM. Brought to Vegas by the Houston brothers, Johnny and Mark from LA. It's so different and kind of customizable for whatever you want to do. You can really figure out your favorite spot, your favorite night, and what's the best way to get your vibe right. But this is how Brock do it. So first off, you're going to have to check the calendar at ontherecordlv.com, because in the next few weeks, this place is going to have Claude Von Stroke and Mark Ronson and a ton of other amazing DJs. It actually has a pretty crazy music mix, which is very refreshing in the local scene right now. Lots of different sounds all the time. I would highly recommend that you consider going on a Wednesday for the weekly industry party. That thing is really taking off at the moment. So if I have a big group, I definitely want to reserve one of three karaoke rooms at On the Record. Karaoke in a swanky strip nightclub? Yes, believe it. And these are super cool little spaces to throw your own private party in. The service is great. It's really the most exclusive and energetic experience you can have when it comes to karaoke in Las Vegas. Or if I'm going with just a few friends, I like to stake out a spot in the living room, which is just behind the main room. They play a different kind of vintage mix back there, but you can still see the DJ booth in the corner, which, by the way, is built into half of a Rolls Royce, and that's pretty amazing. But when you're back in the living room, you can still kind of jump back into the main room if there's a surprise performer on stage, which happens quite a bit. It's also close to the outdoor patio space that has that cool double-decker British bus with yet another DJ booth built inside of it. And there's a snack window out there too, in case you need to grab a slice later on, or Mark Houston's favorite bite, the Philly cheesesteak egg roll. Yes, keep an eye out for that. No matter what night you're there, you have to pay a visit to the hidden speakeasy known as the Vinyl Parlor. It's a super sexy craft cocktail bar inside On the Record, and you just gotta find it for yourself. This place is all about discovery, and it's really fun to explore the various spaces in here. And this one's my favorite because you already know I'm a drink snob, and I like to end my night with something really delicious and memorable. That's On the Record, such a great addition to our nightlife scene, such a great compliment at Park MGM, and that's how Brock do it. Okay, it's time. It's that time for the Vegas you need. This is where Mark Chinook, Vegas expert.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. We're all going to be Vegas experts and tell you the Vegas things that you need to go check out right now. And we're going to start with our amazing guest, Asia. What is your pick today?
Vegas, you need to head down to New York, New York, and try their roller coaster.
I love it.
How many times have you been on the roller coaster?
5 or 6.
Wow. That is intense.
And because I'm an MGM employee, we kind of get a discount. So I just like show them my
That
partner.
Doesn't matter. That doesn't
That's
matter.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Now I feel like we should call New York, New York and like do a, give me an employee poll. Like who has ridden this thing that many times?
Don't do that one because I feel like my name's going to be just
right,
right
at the top. There's going to be like 3,000 people at one. Maybe a couple people at 2 and 3, and then you're 2 steps ahead in first place.
I feel like maybe you're hedging it a little bit. Maybe it's more than that.
Yeah, if you're saying 5, it's more like 8 or 9.
Maybe.
Are you just a roller coaster fan?
I love roller coasters. Wow. Like, I don't know what it is.
Did you ever go to Cedar Point?
No.
Sandusky, Ohio.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I really want to go there.
Yeah, you got
to
go there.
I really want to try that.
I need to introduce you to a colleague of mine. His name is Mike Privat. We worked together at Las Vegas Weekly for a long time, and now he works for KNPR. He's a producer. but he is a roller coaster fiend, and he literally travels just to go to amusement parks and ride famous roller coasters.
I love it.
You guys need to connect.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
The New York roller coaster is a great pick. That's like the second time in a row. The coaster.
We've talked about it on this show before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've.
It's never been a Vegas you need. Mm-hmm. No, the coaster at New York, New York.
Mark, I know you're excited to make a choice today.
Yeah, I'm going to pick a restaurant, and it's a restaurant that's brand new, just opened in Summerlin, just off the 215 in Town Center. And it is one of our former guests' establishment that we talked about. We had her on. Gina Marinelli was a guest on our show, I don't know, a couple months ago.
That was a while ago.
It was a while ago. She's an amazing chef in town, and La Strega just opened an Italian restaurant, 215 Town Center. It is outstanding. And I'm not just saying that because she's on our show. I went for my birthday, my wife and I and my mother-in-law went, the three of us, and she just cooks amazing, authentic Italian food. It's not the BS that you think, spaghetti meatballs and none of that. And she's just amazing. And it's an all-women run restaurant, open concept floor. You can see the kitchen. You can see them working. They'll make you stuff that's not on the menu if you're feeling hungry. Trust me, you don't want to eat before you go there because you will eat. And it is fantastic. I'm so excited that the place is open. We love Gina, and I love her restaurant. I've been twice since it opened. That is my Vegas you need.
Asia, do you like Italian food?
I do. I like food.
You got to carb up, girl.
Yeah. Maybe from China.
I'll just tell Gina, no eyes. Like, hey, Gina, if you have any fish specials, no eyes.
No eyes, please.
She probably does have some eyes on the menu. Right.
I'm sure she does.
Hold the eyes.
She'll always post. If you follow her on Instagram, she's always posting the fresh stuff that she's bringing in. She just had this whole like shipment of sardines not too long ago. Look.
Don't tell me that one.
But you should go check it out. Bring the team. We can help set it up even. She would love the fact that you guys roll in there. It's a great place.
Cool. I'm going to add to the collection of all the Vegas merchandise that I'm working on, different t-shirts with different sayings. It's going to be one with Asia, and it's going to say shrimp should not have eyes.
Yeah, that's a given.
My pick for the Vegas you need is a show I've been wanting to go to for a long time now and finally made it. It's the Bronx Wanderers.
Yes.
They are playing in the Matt Franco Theater at the Link. They just moved over there a short time ago. They previously were playing at Bally's. They kind of outgrew the room, and now they're doing a bigger and better show over at the Link. It's just a great story. It's a family group. A father and his two sons and his son's friends and the dad, whose name is Vinny, has a great history in the music business, has been a record producer for decades, and now he's been touring the country with his kids for probably more decades, and they're just awesome. They play his music. They play some of the kids' music. Get to pick some songs and put them in there. Mark, you know these guys well. Little Vin. Vin A has been over here a few times at Monday's Dark. And also Dave is always a lot of time.
We actually had the entire Bronx Wanderers perform at our anniversary event at the Joint. Mm-hmm. They actually chose to close their show that night so that they could participate in our year anniversary event. We had 2,000 people, and they were one of our headlining groups. But like you said, Vin A has performed at Monday's Dark a ton. And just great guys. Their story's awesome. And they bring it. Like, it's amazing. The energy is, like you said, these like kids up there just rocking and
it's
rolling.
It's like the tightest band ever. Yeah, they're just so good.
They're really tight. Great choice.
Go over there to the Link. It sounds kind of like an old person show, and I think they were getting that kind of audience more when they were at Bally's, but now they're at the Link, and it's a little bit different.
And they've released
a bigger, nicer room.
Yeah, new marketing collateral is out. They've
different
got new
songs.
Posters, new trucks going by. They got a billboard. And their whole vibe with that marketing campaign definitely skews way younger.
Super fun
Bronx
show.
Wanderers, The Coaster, and La Strega. That's a night out.
That's a good night right there.
Yeah.
Probably go to The Coaster first before you go eat a bunch of pasta. Yeah,
so true.
Unless maybe you're going with friends you don't like. They can relive that pasta. Or the sardines that she's not going to eat anyway.
You know. I mean, if we just take the eyes out, maybe she'll Asia Wilson, thank you so much.
Thank you
for being here today. Las Vegas Aces have a preseason game in Vegas at Cox Pavilion on May 19th and tip off the regular season May 26th at Mandalay Bay against the LA Sparks. I will be there. You can get your tickets at LasVegasAces.com. Also, mark your calendar. This is huge. For the WNBA All-Star Game this year in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay on July 27th. That is exciting, too. Not to put pressure on you to be an All-Star again, but come on.
I know. Fingers crossed. I mean, I'm at least give me the benefit of the doubt being in the house, at the house. I mean, come on now.
We'll edit that part out.
We'll see.
You'll crush it. No doubt.
There's also going to be 8 Aces games broadcast on CBS Sports this year, with the first one on the road against Atlanta on June 6th. And you can keep up with Asia at her website, AsiaWilson22.com, AjaWilson22.com. Talk about Vegas sports legends. How about Jonathan Ogden, Baltimore Ravens great, longtime Vegas resident. His foundation, the Ogden Family Foundation, is going to get $10,000 this month from Monday's Dark. And you can be part of that fundraising extravaganza on May 20th here at The Space. Get your tickets for that one or the one on June 3rd or June 17th at mondaysdark.com. The next few weeks are going to be huge for music in Las Vegas. EDC is coming back. Yikes. I'm just kidding. I love EDC. It's my favorite thing.
Yikes.
Janet Jackson is opening at Park Theater also very soon. I am excited about that. You can get on top of all this stuff by picking up the new issue of Las Vegas Weekly Magazine and reading everything at lasvegasweekly.com. You can get caught up on all the Vegas. Binge listen to every episode at Apple Podcasts on the Las Vegas Weekly YouTube channel, or just go to allthevegas.com. If you have any genius ideas that you think would make this podcast even better, let us know by messaging allthevegas at lasvegasweekly.com. Maybe you should do this. Maybe this is your podcast. Let's shake things up a bit. Allthevegas at lasvegasweekly.com.
Easy now. Settle down, Brock. Settle down.
Okay. Thank you to Las Vegas Weekly and Space. Thanks again to Asia. Thanks again, as always, to Mark and Ken. And thank you for listening. Drive carefully. Come back soon.